We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Thank you, Carol. Welcome back. 306, second hour of the Mark Reardon Show. A couple things I want to point to this hour. Dan O'Neill, sports journalist extraordinaire, going to join us. I think Kevin Wheeler's going to join, too. It's the 35th anniversary of Go Crazy Folks and the series against the Dodgers, the National League Championship Series, which I think I had forgotten, and I read this today. That was the first time they moved that to seven games. It was always best of five. So a little history there, and I think I heard John Hancock say it was the first time Ozzie hit a home run left-handed. So we'll investigate that. Rennie Knott from Channel 5 is going to join me this afternoon, and we're going to have an impassioned kind of debate, although we might all agree on this. I was trying to get Jane to join us, but she's unavailable. I love every kind of candy except for Peeps and candy corn. And Rennie tweeted about that, so we're hitting the hard hitting issues this afternoon on Camo X. Quick update about a story that I shared yesterday. The the mayor of Anchorage, Alaska, has announced his resignation after admitting to an inappropriate messaging relationship with a TV news anchor who had claimed to post nude photos of him online and then threatened to kill him. We played this audio yesterday. Mayor Ethan Berkowitz is the mayor. So just going back to Friday just a little bit, you had Maria Athens is the anchor. She's an anchor reporter at a television station in Anchorage. Dave, let's play the audio because she goes up on Friday. This is kind of insane. It really is. On Friday, she goes up on her Facebook page, and this is still up there apparently, that the mayor, and she calls out the mayor saying that she's going to post these stories and sort of out him as a pedophile. Here's what she said on Facebook.
Hello there, Maria Athens from Fox, ABC, CW, Newsnet, National Alaska. Breaking news, according to reliable sources, Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz has his male genitalia posted on an underage girl's website. Coming up tonight, Fox 4 News at 9, ABC News at 10, CW News at 12:30, and Newsnet National for sure will cover this. You heard it here first.
You can tell she sounds a little unhinged there. However, small market television, you're not getting the polish that you would normally get from bigger markets. Maybe that's part of it. Anyway, then she reportedly uploads naked pictures of the mayor two times. Social media gloms onto that. She then gets in a fight with her, with her general manager, Scott Centers, at her TV station, who's also her romantic partner. So she goes nuts. She gets arrested on assault charges. She's now banned from the station. And she left this message for the mayor of Anchorage before he resigned yesterday, Ethan Berkowitz.
Ethan, it's Maria Athens from Fox, ABC, CW, Newsnet, National Alaska. I just learned through my Emmy award-winning journalism, you're also a pedophile and like little girls and children. And there's a website. I'm so exposing you. I'm going to get an Emmy. So you either turn yourself in, kill yourself, or do what you need to do. I will personally kill you and Mara Kimmel, my damn self, you Jewish piece of living shit. You have met your match, mother. You have met your mother match. I can't believe I am such a good person and thought I loved you. I don't even hate you. I will pray for your Zionist ass, you piece of loser. Wow. And okay. I'm putting this on the news tonight. Bye. Have a great Friday, you mother.
I don't think he had a great Friday. I'm pretty sure he did not have a great Friday. I'm pretty sure he did not have a great Saturday or Sunday, Monday or Tuesday. And Ethan Berkowitz resigned yesterday. I said this yesterday. Let me just mentioned that I have, boy, she sounds crazy, right? And she's unhinged, and I get that. But I don't know all the details of what this mayor might have done. I mean, they put a statement out on Friday completely denying this, making her look like an idiot, which, unfortunately, she comes off as a crazy person. But I have a little empathy here, just because you can see how angry she was given a certain set of circumstances. I don't know all the circumstances. I really don't. I don't know what all the circumstances were, but I don't think, here's what I'll say. I'm not going to make a lot of predictions on anything. You know, I'm a little hesitant to make a prediction on the presidential race. I don't think she's going to win an Emmy. That one, I think I'm safe on that one. She's not going to win an Emmy. Piggybacking on that, this might seem strange, but I want to go to the Breonna Taylor case, because there's much about Breonna Taylor that I still think is a question mark. And I've said from the very beginning that there might be, and there are, I think, legitimate questions about how the police obtained the search warrant for her apartment and everything that went hand in hand with investigating Jamarcus Glover, who was the ex-boyfriend who was arrested. So Kenneth Walker, the boyfriend who was with Breonna Taylor in her apartment the night of the tragic shooting, did an interview with Gayle King, and it aired this morning on CBS This Morning. So it's a terribly devastating, very sad interview, and I want to play a couple of sound bites from it, because I think Mr. Walker is telling the truth. I have no reason to believe, and I've said this from the beginning, there's no reason at this point to believe that he was a drug dealer. Somebody asked me this. Actually, it was a media member here in St. Louis who sent me a message and said, hey, is there any information that Kenneth Walker was dealing drugs? There isn't, and I've not seen any. Is there any information that Breonna Taylor was dealing drugs? No, but that's a bit nuanced, and I'll get to that in just a second. So here's Kenneth Walker sort of telling the story to Gayle. It's very sad what he went through that night when police busted through the door, and then he fired first.
Who did you think was at the door? If you're saying, who is it, and they're not answering? Because it certainly doesn't sound like a friendly knock.
I didn't have a clue. That's why I grabbed the gun.
Yeah.
Didn't have a clue. I mean, if it was the police at the door and they just said we're the police, me or Breonna didn't have a reason at all not to open the door and see what they wanted.
But did it ever cross your mind, a heavy knock like that, maybe it's the police?
That's why I never thought it was the police, because why would the police be coming here?
Yeah, and look, there's one witness that said that the police did identify themselves. Other people said they didn't hear that. Now, not hearing it doesn't mean that it didn't happen. Did it? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I do not know what to believe. But here's what I think is fair. Apparently, can't do this anymore in journalism. But let me ask this question. I'll pose it this way. Do you think that Gayle King would give anywhere close to that much of an empathetic interview to Kyle Rittenhouse? Kyle Rittenhouse is the young man from Antioch, Illinois. He went up to Kenosha in the aftermath of the situation up there, the protests, and ended up killing somebody. So he's charged with murder. But video evidence clearly shows that he was threatened as well. And my expectation is that Mr. Rittenhouse will not be found guilty of any crime in the end. And I wouldn't be surprised if they drop the charges eventually. But we'll see what happens with that. But there is more to that story, I guess, is my point. And maybe there's more to the story about Kyle Rittenhouse shooting these guys that he shot. I don't know. As in the situation with Mike Brown, I always leave this, you know, open for new information that comes down the line. But in this particular case, here's what I would say to Gayle King, and I'd love to be able to ask her this question. And I know that it's tough to do this. I interview people all the time, and I have an agenda because I'm an opinionated talk show host. I'm not a journalist anymore. I'm not a news person. Used to be a news director, used to be a news anchor. Don't do that anymore. I have opinions, right? So I would say to Mr. Walker, now maybe this isn't appropriate given the nature of the crime, but I think it's a fair question. Kenneth, Jamarcus Glover, the former boyfriend who was arrested, Breonna Taylor's former boyfriend, was seen walking into Breonna's apartment in January, and he left with a suspected United States Postal Service package in his hand, and he drove to a drug house on Muhammad Ali Boulevard. So did you know that there was anything going on with Breonna and Jamarcus Glover along the lines of drug dealing? Well, you can answer that question. And he might say, look, that has nothing to do with me, okay? Did you know that, Mr. Walker, did you know that Jamarcus Glover made a call from jail 12 hours after he was arrested on March 13th several hours after Breonna Taylor was killed, the same morning, and he says in that phone call, which was recorded, it's on tape, that he tells a girlfriend this. Again, there's audio of this, that Breonna Taylor was holding $8,000 for him and that she had been handling all my money. Now, no money was found at Breonna Taylor's apartment. That could have been a complete lie. Who knows? Why did he say that? Could have been a lie. Maybe he was throwing caution, trying to throw him off. I have no idea. At that point, I don't think he knew what happened to Breonna Taylor, though. So in January, he was arrested, Jamarcus Glover, on trafficking and weapons charges. Again, don't misunderstand me here. I don't have any information that Breonna Taylor was involved. There's a good chance, for example, here's a scenario. Jamarcus Glover was using her and her apartment without her knowledge. That's a possibility. But on January 3rd, Glover was arrested on trafficking and weapons charges. This is well before this. He calls Breonna Taylor from the jail, and he says, look, I need somebody to get me bail money, a particular person. And she says, well, he's already at the trap. The trap is a drug house. So Glover tells her, this is a recorded conversation, be on standby. If I make bail, I'm going to have to pick you up. I'm going to need to rest in your bed. And he says, love you. She says, love you too. Mr. Walker, did you know that your girlfriend was telling Mr. Glover that he loved her at the end of or the beginning of January? These are fair questions. It's a terrible thing that happened, but these are fair questions. And to act like the police just busted that door down without any reason whatsoever is dishonest. It's journalistic malpractice. It really is. I think you can criticize the police. I've criticized no-knock warrants. Don't like them? Wish they were banned. Well, then you have the, this wasn't a no-knock warrant. Or was it? I still think there's plenty of questions. But the journalism that surrounds all of these things now is egregiously bad and shameful. And the same thing is happening right now with Amy Coney Barrett. No one's going to do a story about how ridiculously insulting and ignorant Maisie Hirono is from Hawaii in her line of questioning of Amy Coney Barrett. It's insulting. It's embarrassing. Shameful. But you won't see it on TV or in the newspaper. 317 at KMOX. We'll lighten it up. We'll talk sports. Dan O'Neill, I think Kevin's going to drop by too. 35th anniversary of something pretty popular here in St. Louis coming up next.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
Too much politics and all that other stuff. Let's talk baseball. Let's talk sports this afternoon. Let's relive a great memory. We've relived it before, but 35 years ago today this happened.
Cardinals have left 10 men on, and they left a lot of men on early. Had a runner at third, nobody out in the first and didn't score. Second and third, one out in the second and didn't score. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2.
Oh, yeah. And we did go crazy here in St. Louis. Dan O'Neill is with us. He wrote about this in one of his many best-selling books. Kevin Wheeler's dropping by, as we'll talk about a couple other things as well. Dan, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good, Mark. Thanks for that book review.
Well, you do feature that in a couple of the great coffee table books that you put out, haven't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, the book Celebration, Magic of the Cardinals in the 1980s is all about moments like that. Ozzie Smith's home run. This is also, by the way, the anniversary of Jose Oquendo's unexpected three-run homer that essentially beat the Giants in the deciding game of the 1987 NLCS. So it's a big day in Cardinals history. But, you know, this whole week was very eventful, and actually the month of October, of course, is very eventful when you go back and look at the 80s and the Cardinals. They're the only team in the National, or well, they're the only team in baseball that went to the World Series three times in that decade. So there's a lot of great memories from the 80s, and certainly Ozzie Smith's home run ranks right up there.
Wheeler, Wheeler's with us, and Kevin, you're a little younger than me, but look, I moved here in 79. They win the series in 82. I'm locked in. I'm, you know, in Columbia in the rest of the 80s and going to as many games as possible. And, you know, I mentioned this earlier this afternoon. I was living next to these Kansas City Royals fans in Columbia, Missouri in 1985, so they harassed me in the end, you know, with the World Series. But such great memories from the 1980s. And I think, Dave, let's play the Jack Clark home run, because I think Friday would be the anniversary of this from the win. By the way, the other thing, you guys can tell me if this, I think I saw a note that this was the first ever seven-game NLCS. Dan, is that true?
That sounds right, but I won't swear by it. But it
I think it
right.
was. I think it was, because they were five games before that. But here's what happened on the, I guess this would be the 16th. Yeah, the 16th of October.
Clark, a chance to redeem himself after striking out in the seventh. The Dodger right-hander is set, and here's his pitch to Jack Clark. Swinging and a long one into left field. Adios, goodbye, and maybe that's a winner. A three-run homer by Clark, and the Cardinals lead by the score of 7-5, and they may go to the World Series on that one, folks.
And they did, so it wasn't the greatest. Well, it was a pretty good World Series. It didn't end well. Let me, because I have both of you here, I want to touch on several other sports topics. And, Kevin, I'll start with you on on the month of October, just because, and Dan sort of referenced this, the big names in baseball that we've lost just in the past several weeks is kind of stunning when you think about it.
I mean, it's more than just stunning. I mean, it's jarring because, you know, just heck, in the last, you know, what now, was it 10 days? It's Bob Gibson, you know, it's Whitey Ford. And I mean, I think part of the thing that, you know, you think of these names, and I'm sure Dan would agree, the thing about the people that we're losing now is, you know, they were a part of what a lot of people view as kind of the magical age of baseball. And part of that is because that was the first era, the first age where we started seeing them more, right? These games were more on television. You know, there was a lot more visibility than there had been in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And I think they're symbolic of kind of the transition of baseball from where it was before that to where it is now.
Yeah, that.
Yeah,
you know,
Joe
what,
Morgan too.
Yeah,
that's true. If I could, but you know, it's also a reflection of the times when players, great players, pretty much stayed with one organization. You know, maybe two. And Joe Morgan played, I think, 10 or 11 years with the Astros before the Reds, and. You know, Gibson spent his whole career here. Brock essentially spent his whole career here. I mean, he started with the Cubs but didn't blossom till he got here and then played the rest of his career here. So these are players who people really got attached to. And as Kevin said, it was a different era of baseball, and I would argue a much better era of baseball.
Are you both of the opinion as we move into the hot stove league here that the Cardinals will be a little bit more aggressive when it comes to getting some more offense in the lineup? Dan, I'll start with you.
Well, I think they have to. You know, they sort of use this strange micro season to try to find out about a few guys, mainly their outfielders, their young outfielders. And the reports weren't real good. I mean, their outfield offensively was horrible. So, you know, they've got a terrific hitter in Paul Goldschmidt, and they don't really have anything to back him up with, to protect him. So I think if they want to get the most out of Goldschmidt, it's all fine and good to talk about Dylan Carlson being that player. But you really don't want to put a rookie in that position. You want him to blossom. To make him your cleanup hitter behind Goldschmidt, I think would be a mistake. So I think they'll do their best to find a hitter. I'm not sure how elite, quote unquote, that hitter will be, but they have to find more pop for their lineup.
Yeah, I would agree, Mark. I don't know what to make of how the Cardinals and other major league teams are going to handle the financial shortfalls from playing a third of a season and not having any fans in seats and all of that, but I think there's another way to look at this offseason, and in that it may be an opportunistic one because other teams that are, you know, below where the Cardinals are in terms of regular revenue are hurting even more. So with a free agent marketplace that may be flooded by, you know, non-tenders from the arbitration process, with options maybe not getting picked up around the league from teams that are hurting even more, there may be an opportunity to do some things that wouldn't have otherwise been there. So, you know, maybe this is a chance where you can find something that in a normal offseason wouldn't even be an option for you, whether that be, you know, people who get let go or being able to trade for players like that so that a team doesn't end up just letting the go for nothing.
Dan O'Neill, Kevin Wheeler, I wish I had more time, but we got to run this afternoon. We'll have you back soon. Kevin's back at 4:15 this afternoon on this anniversary of Go Crazy. Folks, 3:30 at the Voice of St. Louis and the home of the Cardinals. Carol has the news. We're going to segue into something very intense with another sports guy, Randy Knott, coming up here talking about the debate over candy corn. And I'm very passionate about this, and I think he's on my side.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the Voice of the Cardinals.
Candy corn. Yellow, orange, white.
I can't believe it. Dave, you came up with a theme song for this segment. I had no idea. So I saw this, I think last night. This happens every time a year. Jane and I kind of go back and forth, Jane Duker, on Peeps and candy corn. I hate both, and I love candy. I love sugar. My daughter, my five-year-old Lex Reardon, came in the other morning, and the other afternoon when I was on the air, she hands me candy corn. I said, no, babe, I can't do candy corn. I love sugar. But I saw Randy Knott over at Channel 5 tweet about this, and I think Jane responded, the Today in St. Louis co-anchor reporter with me this afternoon on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Randy, how are you?
I'm good. How you been?
I'm doing okay, but it's that annual debate on this very, very serious topic that has grabbed the nation, I think, if we're being honest right now, the debate over candy corn, which is very divisive, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, please. It was funny because I was sitting here trying to think, what could I tweet about to get people to interact that's not going to cause controversy? That's not going to get, people divided and everything else. So I threw, candy corn. Oh, my. It is straight down the middle. You're either for or against. There are some people talking about mixing it with other candies, and that helps out. It's like diluting your cough medicine. I mean, give me a break. It's horrible stuff, okay? It tastes like wax. Am
yes.
I right?
Thank you. Yes, you are right. Now, I mentioned Jane and others have tried to come back with an argument that candy corn, now I don't know where you stand on Peeps, but I have some consistency on the issue of Peeps as well, where I think they're good for burning on the grill because they light up in a very dynamic way, but eating them
really?
I think should be somewhat questionable, yeah.
I haven't had a Peep since probably I was 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, back when I used to get Easter baskets as a kid, and our kids, you know, they're 30 and 25 now. I don't remember us giving them Peeps either. But to me, a Peep was like nothing. It was less than a marshmallow. It was this thing. It's like, okay, it looks cute, but there was no flavor to it. It didn't last long. So, no. No. I'm anti-Peeps.
Yeah, I can't do. Yeah. Now, are you, because I am a real, people are surprised because I'm relatively lean, but I love sugar. I mean, donuts today and pretty much that's it. I've had a couple of Reese's Dark Thins. My nutrition is basically based on sugar. I'm trying to think of another thing that I put into my body more than sugar. I can't do it.
Caffeine.
Yeah, that's true. Because I'm a Diet Coke addict. So I'm on like number 8 here today, unfortunately.
Well, I drink, so I get into work at 1:30 in the morning. And I usually drink probably 3 cups of coffee before I do the 4:30 news. Just because, you know, you're there, you're working, you're sipping, you're writing and all that stuff. Well, when it comes to candy, I used to eat a lot of candy when I was a kid. There was a store called TGNY, and I grew up in Los Angeles. And they had this huge display of penny candy. So I used to, you know, do chores around the house, get like a dollar for a week's worth of chores, and go there and basically buy 50 cents worth of penny candy. You know, the Now and Laters, Cassie, I mean, I don't know. Jelly
all that
beans,
stuff, right?
You name it. I used to get it. And then I'd eat it. And then when I got into high school, I didn't like candy as much anymore. And now I'll only eat candy if there's a craving. And usually that craving involves Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That's about
See,
it.
Let me,
or jelly beans.
let me recommend the Reese's Dark Thins. Dave Klein has picked up on these. They set, like, after a meal, if you're just looking for that satisfying, you know, sweet tooth addiction, a couple of Reese's Dark Thins, and they absolutely do the trick. Now, look, you opened a door up here because I was going to ask you about something with the morning show. We're not only in a period here where we had a presidential election 4 years ago, but I did a little research here, and if I'm not mistaken, it was about 4 years ago when you started doing Today in St. Louis, and also that was following your heart situation, right? I mean, you had a close call with death.
Well, there was a lot of life issues. So in 2013, I was diagnosed with blood clots in my lungs. And, you know, we thought we would use blood thinners and things like this to kind of thin them out. Eventually, they would dissipate and go away. Well, it only escalated. So about the time 2016 came around, my heart scans were off the charts. My heart was enlarging. My kidneys were shutting down. Basically, I was in really bad shape. So the cardiologist, we switched cardiologists and started to see Dr. Chakanala. And so I ended up going out to San Diego in July and having this 9-hour surgery to remove the blood clots. And it took me probably another 8 weeks after that to be able to go back to work. So I'm at work and I'm thinking, you know, I love sports and all that, but I didn't really have the energy as much anymore. And I remember they had an opening because Nicole Burley had just left to go to Boston. And I thought, well, why can't I anchor the show with Pat? I mean, I'll try that. Let me get in there. So I tried it, and I thought, well, you know, we don't know about two guys together, so maybe you can do fill-in anchoring. I said, okay, that's fine. I'll keep doing sports. And next thing I know, I'm doing the morning show. And I remember one of the first shows because I signed off on a Thursday. And the next time I'm back in was a Monday. And I signed off Thursday in the evening. And I remember waking up probably around 1 o'clock in the morning and turning on the TV in the bedroom and seeing Donald Trump come down the steps. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, he just won the presidency. So, you know, I get dressed, go into work, and, yeah, that's reality. So one of the first anchoring shows I did as far as a news anchor was the day after the election and announcing a new president and a whole move forward in our world at that point. I'll just say that. There was so much controversy on all sides at that point. And when you come from sports, yeah, there's controversy, but a lot of it is settled by rules and, you know, it's more like fan outrage. But this was something totally different. And I tell you, you grow up quick. You grow up quick and you learn quick that you cannot, have a side, that you really have to stand back and be unbiased. Whereas when you're doing sports, you're pro Cardinals, you're pro Rams because the Rams at the time were still here. You're pro all of our teams, but now America is our team, so you can't choose a side. And that was really hard for me to understand in the beginning. It was like, okay, you really do have to step out of the way. You can't cheerlead, you can't look for the bright sides. It's all about delivering the news for what's taking place and giving people the facts and letting them decide which side they want to stand on.
Well, look, I think you do a great job of that, and you do a great job on Twitter, and I give you credit for that because you probably noticed I'm not as good at that as you are. So props on that, Rennie. You know, I had a couple of stints doing morning show. I used to say half my career, but now I've probably done other shifts longer. But the earliest I ever had to get up was 2:30. I was at work at WTMJ Milwaukee at 3:15, but I mean, it was this time of day. Now, I don't know if you're a napper. I would always have to nap a little bit, but my body never got used to it.
Yeah. Now, see, I'm 56 years old, and my thing
we're right
was,
same age about.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you're younger than me.
55.
That's still younger. I'll count it. My brother's 55. He's still my little brother. So when I first started the shift, you had no choice. You had to get up, you had to be ready, you had to go. Because as I tell people, I have bills to pay. So I have no choice.
Yes.
I feel like getting up today. I got to go get that paycheck. Yeah. So I'm up now, to be honest with you, I get up at 12:30. And I'm actually in the office by 1:30 in the morning.
And you just got to get used to it.
Yeah, you get. But the problem, though, is that on the weekends, Mrs. Knott would like for me to stay up later and, you know, watch TV with her, watch games and all that. And I make it till about 7 o'clock, and I'm out. Yeah. I can't go.
That was always the tough part for me. I would try to nap like 3 hours on Friday afternoons, and that was oftentimes not successful because if I didn't get, you know, sleep on the Friday, the weekend was shot. But look, it's great that you are in that routine, that you're feeling better. I appreciate your stance on candy corn and all of the things, and I'm glad that you came on this afternoon. What are your thoughts? Let me ask you just two sports-related things. Yeah. Let you chime, because I know you tweet a lot about sports. I just had Dan O'Neill and Kevin talking about, you know, this is the anniversary of Go Crazy, folks, with Ozzie and Jack Buck and that great series against the Dodgers. But the Cardinals right now, heading into the offseason, I've been loving baseball. Even outside of the Cardinals, I subscribed to the MLB package this year. Really had fun watching the Padres. But there's no doubt, even though we're spoiled here and we're in the postseason again, that there have to be some changes in the offseason with the Cardinals and their offense. I think we're all in agreement on that, aren't we?
We've been waiting on offense ever since Albert left. And I know Matt Holliday brought moments, and I know that Matt Carpenter has brought moments. But until you get somebody in there like Albert that could do it all the time, every time, who's a serious threat in the lineup, you're going to struggle like this. You're going to lean on your pitching so much. And now you're talking about a pitching staff that may be without Adam Wainwright. Granted, he's 39 years old, but he is that leader. You might have a battery without Yadier Molina. And granted, without Yadier Molina, I don't know what they can do. So you really do need to get that power back. The question is, are you willing to just go ahead and pay it? Finally, really pay somebody big time to stay here. You look at Ozuna and what he's doing. You're thinking, man, he was here last year. And now he's gone. What if that bat has still been in this lineup? What could that have produced for the Cardinals? So I know that we've been lacking a bat for years now. And we've been leaning on more of an overall team play. But at some point, you got to say we made a lot of money over the years. Let's go and break the bank, get this guy in here that's going to make a difference. Who that guy is, I couldn't tell you right now. But you need to go get that guy.
Yeah, I hear names. I hear names out there, and I just hope that something can be secured. And that's maybe the good thing about what happened in the micro season, that we see where things didn't really pan out and changes need to be made. So I have faith. Look, you know, sometimes I get annoyed, though, with the chatter on Twitter, and I'm sure you do, too, over the years doing sports. Some of the fans act like we're, you know, at the bottom of the NL Central every year.
Right.
Like we're the Pirates or something. We're not the Pirates, right? We're not the Reds. Still doing okay. Ready not. Great to have you on, man. I'm glad you're feeling okay. Well, getting up early in the morning. And again, we have solidarity on, if nothing else, candy corn. We'll catch you early tomorrow morning, Rennie. See you later, man. 3:48 on the Voice of St. Louis. Candy corn.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. At the Amy Coney Barrett hearing today on Capitol Hill, some needed levity in a stressful time. And the topic was baseball.
I'd like to pivot from constitutional structure to baseball for a minute, if you will bear with me. Any of your kids play baseball or softball?
Two of our boys had a very brief career in baseball.
Gotcha. Well, it's obviously not as great a sport as football, but we can still call it the American pastime. And I'd like to talk about the Houston Astros, who are miserable cheaters. Sorry, Cornyn and Cruz, but both of the Texas senators sit on this committee. But I think all baseball fans know that the Houston Astros cheat. They steal signs. They bang on cans. They've done a whole bunch of miserable things historically, and they deserve to be punished probably more than they have been. But tonight is game four.
Thank goodness the First Amendment protects that right for him to express that erroneous opinion.
If you want to defend cheating, that is certainly the prerogative of the senior senator. And the junior senator from Texas now rushes into the room to do some homerism.
It was going so well.
I noticed that Ted is wearing a Lone Star State flag, but not an Astros mask.
Yeah. That was Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska, and it was John Cornyn and Ted Cruz from Texas. I like that moment today. That's your audio cut of the day. Total Information PM coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.